5.
Kof Gimel Elul, Thursday the 14th of September, Rabbi Benji Morgan. Lifnei Iver, may you sell a television to a Jewish person.
Yeah, I was going to start off by explaining what television is.
John Lemke Bear.
I saw when Dudi sent me the poster for this week, last Thursday. It was, I saw that it was the day after Pesach Krohn. So it reminds me of something that when I was in America, I once heard him say, where he said he's always tries to be the last speaker. Because as Chazal say, Ein maftir en achar Pesach. So look, we'll try our best. The interesting thing about Lifnei Iver is actually, it's one of those hidden subjects in our life that we don't realize how often it comes up. And just some of the practical questions that, when I was preparing this sugya and was learning it, you know, that can come up in our lives. The Gemara actually talks about it when it comes to being malvah ribis, and other cases too. And it's interesting because I was just speaking to one of our students at JLE, and he said to me, "Oh well, I figured out something how to pay. I can get a mortgage, or a loan, but I figured out someone else has taken the loan out, and I'm going to pay them back the cost of that loan." So actually, it's not so posh at that, because even though that person's paying the interest, you're essentially paying the interest on that loan. And there's many cases like this of where we can be over on Lifnei Iver. But the shaida that I heard from Diane Dunner about 20 years ago is when there was people trying to make parnos in Eretz Yisrael, and there was an import-export business of televisions. It was back in the day, I'm sure some of us will remember, where electronics in Israel costed a lot of money. They're still expensive, but it used to be that you could pay for your ticket just by going with a Kenwood mixer with you, and there was a real expense. So televisions was something which people were able to make some real money on. And the shaila that came to Diane Dunner was, can I be an importer of TVs in Eretz Yisrael? So just to analyze the question, a TV, just for those of you who don't know, a TV is a device which can pick up signals similar to a radio, just with visuals too. So what that means is that actually, what could be picked up by itself? Yesh Lodon. Is it something which is in itself a Dvar Avera, or is it something which can be used for a Dvar Avera? And even if we would say a TV is closer to something which could be used for a Dvar Avera, the shaila that came my way when I was in Eretz Yisrael was, we'd moved on from televisions. In fact, many young children don't know what a television is. They know what a screen is. But the shaila came to, can one sell mobiles, smartphones in Eretz Yisrael to, let's say, Bochum? Right? Or to people which are not religious, or to people who you know could end up kosher, not kosher smartphones. If we're talking about kosher smartphones, another shaila, but maybe that's part of the shaila. That means every smartphone, is it something which you say, well, look, you see, the Rabbonim don't want Bochurim walking around with smartphones. On the other hand, just because it's a smartphone doesn't mean that it's be'etzem something which is a Dvar Avera, right? It depends how you use it. You know, can you sell anything which is potentially dangerous to anyone? I mean, someone sells someone a knife, they could use it for Dvar Avera. Does that mean you can't sell knives? And it was my chavrusa actually who was he was actually paying the tax through the red zone. The prices were so cheap here compared to, it was the time of the Nokia 6230i's, and he was bringing them in about 10 at a time, going claiming the VAT back in this country, paying the VAT in Eretz Yisrael. So he was like properly paying the taxes, but still able to make quite a lot of money on each phone. And the shaila was, can he do this? Because it's clear that the Rabbonim don't want these phones in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever you're sending them to, whether you're sending them to a secular yid or to a frum yid, what's the halacha on that? Also, I had a shaila about cigarettes. Someone once asked me, someone said, well, that's a different shaila, what you're referring to. That someone asked me if I would bring in a box of cigarettes, you know, a carton of cigarettes for them. That's what you're referring to is just the genuine concept of bringing in cigarettes. Someone asked, I'm talking about if someone smokes, right, apparently, I've got a doctor here, apparently smoking is not scientifically necessarily something that that is encouraged nowadays, I would say. And therefore, it could be that when someone smokes, if you're enabling someone to smoke, you know that this person is going to smoke these cigarettes. Essentially, it could be that you're enabling them to do maybe an Aveira. Also, I was just learning this yesterday, and I was learning with someone who's never heard of this sugya before, and he asked me, so all these different things of lifting the ear, and we'll see that it applies to many different cases. He said, but Rabbi, what about just putting a stumbling block in front of the blind person? You know, you haven't mentioned that. You know, we hear all about these different things. What about the lifnei iver lo sitim mishal? Does it apply to that? If you go on the street and you put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, does it apply to that too? And of course, one of the other things that is running through our minds right now is, does it make a difference if they can achieve it anyway? That means if someone, surely there's a difference between enabling, I mean, all people who sell drugs say this, sure, there's a difference between the fact that someone couldn't get hold of something without me, or I'm just one of the people that this person buys, so I just happen to be the person who's benefiting from it, but it's not that I'm necessarily enabling them to do the mitzvah. And another very interesting shaila, which hopefully we'll have time to come to today, is also what happens if you're being machshil someone in an aveira that they hold is asa, but you hold is muta. So as an example of that might be a differences of opinion on an Eruv, or difference of opinion on a Sukkah, or some people hold that you could open bottles on Shabbos, some people you can't open bottles on Shabbos, just as an example. Now I'm someone, let's say, who says that I hold, my Rav allows us to use the Eruv or to open the bottles on Shabbos, and I know my friend doesn't. So he asks me, is the bottle open? And I say, yeah, because I don't mind if he opens it. Or can I open this bottle? Because you know what he's thinking is, has it been open for Shabbos? And you say, yeah, you can open it. Then he opens it, he sees it's tearing. He says, what have you done? You know I don't open bottles on Shabbos. I say, yeah, but I hold you can open bottles on Shabbos. Am I being machshel someone if I hold it's mutter, but you hold it's asa? So, I guess the best place to start is with the pasuk in the Torah. We know the pasuk in the Torah is in Vayikra and Perek Yutes, pasuk Yudalud. So Rashi says, don't put a stumbling block in front of someone. Before someone who's blind, but don't put something in front of someone who's blind. And then Rashi says, don't give someone a piece of advice which is not necessarily for his benefit. Someone comes to ask you, should they invest in a certain property or in a certain investment, and there's some type of benefit to yourself, so you say, yeah, I think this is a great investment. Happens to be, I get a 50% kickback on the investment, which is why it's a good investment from my perspective, but for this person, he may lose everything. That's an eitzah shehein eino higenes loy. Now that's actually very interesting, because usually when we talk about lifnei iver and all the cases that we've been discussing up until now, usually we refer to lifnei iver as something which is about putting a stumbling block. But here it is a different way of putting that stumbling block in front of him, because essentially what you're saying to this person is, I am giving you a piece of advice which you're going to stumble upon, and it's clear that that is the first poshut understanding of lifnei iver. The Gemara in Pesachim Chaf Beis on the base says as follows, a second understanding of lifnei iver, a second interpretation. V'tanya, Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson says, minayin shel yoshit adam kos yayin lenozir. From where do we know that a person shouldn't pour or reach over a cup of wine to a nozir? There's a nozir in your house, Friday night dinner, and you see he's sitting around the table, and he asks you to pour him a cup of wine. Are you allowed to pour a cup of wine? It's his wine. La yoshit adam kos yayin lenozir, or eva minachai lifnei noyach. Now it's interesting. The Gemara over here is referred to nozir and also eva minachai. Now eva minachai is also lifnei noyach. So we see over here that actually the concept of being machshil someone also applies to a goy too. This is something which, that's why I think the Gemara brings this second example. It could have just And there's so many different examples it could have brought, but it's bringing to a goy too. Talmud leimar b'lifnei iver loisiti michshel. That's why it says lifnei iver loisiti michshel. So we see actually, first Rashi says that lifnei iver is referring to a piece of advice that actually is not necessarily in their benefit. And here the Gemara seems to learn that lifnei iver is referring to tripping someone up with an avera. So the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvahs, Reish Tzadik Tes, the Rambam says, so he brings down both of his both of these reasons. His here, he says, she'im yishaelcha adam eitzah v'dava. If someone asks you an eitzah, that the Torah is going to tell you, avaz hara miloramoyso ma'achshiloi. That the pasuk is coming to tell you, don't be meramahim, don't cheat him. Who amru v'lifnei v'lisitim michshel. But then he goes on to say a second thing, and he talks about a malver over beribis. Why? V'fnei iver l'sitim michshel. So the Rambam brings first the Rashi, with the interpretation of Rashi of l'fnei iver l'sitim michshel, which is eitz hashena igenesloi. And secondly, he brings about being machshel someone like the Gemara and Pesachim Chafes on Beisa, malver v'lover beribis, or any time when you're tripping someone up. And then the Rambam says, he finishes off, mitzvah reish tzadik tes, or pashtei dekra, k'moishe zocharen utzchila. But the poshup pshat of lifnei iver refers to the eitzah she'ena hegenes loy, which is interesting. That means we've said that lifnei iver can be understood in two ways. One is, you give someone a piece of advice that's beneficial to you maybe, but not beneficial to them. Second way is, that you give someone, you trip someone up. Now it's interesting, because when you yeshit adam, when you pour a cup of wine to a nazir, you're not actually pouring it down halitainina. You're not pouring it down. We have to see as we go further, maybe there's a difference. That means, who said, maybe he's not going to drink it. Maybe he wants to give it to his child. I don't know what he's going to do. Just because I poured him the wine, does that mean that I've stumbled, made him stumble? I mean, surely there's a difference between if the way that Esau drank the lentils, where it was clear it was going to go down his throat, right? Maybe without a bracha, right? To the wine, which you're pouring some cup of wine. What they do with it, that's their business. All right. So how far back do you go? So the Minchas Chinuch, he says that interestingly enough, the loss of the Minchas Chinuch here is that v'ini medivrei harav mechaber v'chei medivrei harambam nira. The pasuk hazeh delifnei iver yotza legamri mipshutoi. That, from the understanding of the Yaz for the Rambam and the understanding he has from the Shulchan Aruch, is that in nosan michshel mamash, if someone goes out here on oak fields and he sees someone with a white stick, an iver, and he puts a michshel in front of that white stick, has he been over on lifnei iver? Probably he's over on other things. But as we know, on lifnei iver leisita michshel, zoktim in chaschinuch yotza legamri mipshutoi de'im nosan michshel mamash, even lifnei iver eino iver. You're not iver. So it's almost similar to the ayin tachas ayin, where it's completely yotzim tepshutoi. If someone says an iver, the pasuk doesn't even mean. It's not referring to a blind man, and it's not referring to a michshel. And then the pasuk pshat is eitzah she'ena hegenesloi. The pasuk pshat of lifnei iver is referring to giving a piece of advice, and also, as the Gemara says, to tripping someone up. Now it's interesting. It's also to tripping someone up with Navera. Navera. So the Rambam, actually, the interesting thing is that the Rambam, in Perek Vav, Milchus Tamil Terah, Lof Yud Dalad, the Rambam says, Hamachshil Esa Iver. Hamachshil Esa Iver, that's the Lashon of the Rambam. So the Rivad swoops in very quickly and he says, Kagoin, he comes to clarify the Rambam, because Hamachshil Esa Iver sounds very much like the Poshet. You are Machshil, the blind person. Sounds like you go out on oak fields and you machshel him. That seems to be. Although we've seen it elsewhere in the Rambam, he doesn't like that. Zok the Raivad, Kagoin Hamakes Bunaya Godel. When we talk about machshel esa iver, it's referring to if someone is machshel, he hits his son. And machshel, Hamakes Bunaya Godel, he hits his son. So why is that something that you're tripping him up? Because it's very likely if you hit your Bunaya Godel that you're enticing him to hit you back. Now again, this is a different shade of grey than even being moshit a nazir, because here, you hit your son. You shouldn't have hit your son. Just because I hit my son means that he hits me back. That means there is a difference between pouring down non-kosher food down someone's throat, to offering him food, to being in a situation where you do something to someone and it's likely that he's going to retaliate. It's interesting because a few months ago I was on a plane and I got on the flight and I think I'd forgotten, I'd forgotten to order a kosher meal. So, no, I didn't eat the non-kosher meal. So I'd forgotten to order it, or maybe it was their mistake, I don't know. But I was asking the stewardess when I got on the flight, I said, is there a kosher meal? Maybe there's a spare one on board. You know, sometimes they have a spare one. Yeah. So there was someone else who was sitting a few seats away who overheard that conversation. And they came to me and they said, yeah, you can have my kosher meal. So he wasn't wearing a yarmulke. He didn't look necessarily like a frum yid. Obviously, you can never judge people, but he didn't look like a frum yid. So I said to him, tell me, what's the story? You're diabetic, you can't eat? Or is it, he says, no. He says, sometimes my assistant orders me, sometimes I don't. I'm very happy not to have the kosher meal. Which clearly was an understanding that he was going to go for the regular food. So I said to him, you know, I'm actually not even so hungry. So, you know, you stick with your kosher meal and I'll have what I have in my bag. And it was an interesting shiloh which was going through my head is, yes. Can one take that meal if you think that he's going to eat the non-kosher food? Now, you don't know. So what I'm saying is, here we're talking about... Sorry? Yeah, but it's interesting. No, because Maisi, he wouldn't eat kosher food. But as Lifnei Iver, can you take that food? Now, obviously, morally and ethically, we know you shouldn't. But if one would you be able on Lifnei Iver? Because here we see that shade of causing that causation factor of causing someone else even applies to where you've given your son a smack that he, you know, your father, you've given him his b'nai gadol, he's over bar mitzvah, and you could cause him to retaliate. Okay, but you don't know he's going to, and we say it still applies lifnei aver in those cases.
Maybe he's over lifnei aver by giving you a kosher meal.
Like it's unhealthy. Okay. So now we come to really the crunch. So, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah refers to the concept of, the Mishnah already mentions, that you shouldn't sell to a goy a few days before their chag, you shouldn't sell them it's a cow, a thing, whatever it is, lifnei den. So, iboy luhu. Why can't we sell them? The Gemara asks on Vav Amud Aleph. Why can't we sell it? Mishum harvacha, oydil ma mishum v'lifnei v'leisitim michshol. Is it because he's zokrashi to ravich v'azulom moidel avedus gichavim? When you sell him this beautiful cow or this beautiful thing that he's going to use in his yomtov, he's going to thank his getchka, his avedus zara, for giving him the opportunity. And you have been someone who's part of that story. And it's not as lifnei v'er. It's zokrashi v'av yisrael mishum lo yishmal picha. It shouldn't be through you that they praise the Avodah Zarah. I don't know, is it because Lifnei Iver Leisitei Michshol? L'may Nafkamina, says the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina, and this is really the crunch line that we all think about when we talk about, have you caused someone to do it? L'may Nafkamina, the Islei Behema L'Didei, right? Where this person has his own behema, this goy has his own behema, right? Iyam Ris Mishum Harvacha, if you're going to say he's going to thank his getchka because of it, he's going to be still thanking him because he says, now I've got two. It's amazing. If you say it's he could do it himself. That means I haven't been the one who's caused him to sell Avodah Zarah. Had I not sold him, he would have had one anyway. So that's the Gemara says. The Gemara is but even if he has, are you not Avon Lifnei Iver? We learn Omer of Nosson. That means, we're talking about a case of where either the Goy or the Nazir, are on two sides, Trey Avrid Nar is two sides of the river. The economic tunnel la Yeshit says you shouldn't reach over like tunnel yitin, don't give. So this concept of la Yeshit means that the Gemara in Pesachim is referring to, according to this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is referring to, that the person, in order to be able on Lifnei Iver, the person who you are enabling to do the mitzvah, or to do the Saveira, would never be able to do it without you. The Nazir is on one side of the river. You're on the other. The Bnei Noach is on one side of the river. The Eiv Menachai is on the other. If he would be on the same side, he can come and take it himself. So the fact that I sent it over to him, I'm not even on Lifnei Iver, says the Gemara. But it's only because, without me, he has nothing. That is where Lifnei Iver applies. So the Mishnah Melech brings the Pnei Moshe, and on this, it's a very interesting subject. The Pnei Moshe says that when we talk about Kotarab Pnei Moshe, Mishnah Melech into the Perek Dalet, Milchus Mal V'loi V'alocha Beis. He brings the Pnei Moshe that when it comes to a Malva and a Loiva, there's a difference. Someone is enabling someone to borrow with ribbis, which is clearly an avera. So here is a very dakastika point. Of course, the Gemara establishes that if I'm the person who, without me, they literally could not do the avera, of course, I've done the avera. But what about if there's someone else who lends with ribbis? So I'm not enabling him. We're no longer traver denara. So the Pnei Moshe says, yeah, that's what the Gemara is referring to, and it's mutter. Says the Mishnah Melech, no. He says that there's a big difference between when the person is standing on the same side of the river and he could come and take it himself. He can come and he can walk over with this Eiv Menachai, he can pick it up and he can eat it. Then you're not even lifting over it. You hand it to him, you haven't caused him to do it, he could have easily done it himself. A Malva and a Loiva, he needs a Malva. A Loiva cannot borrow money without a Malva. There's no way you can borrow money with ribbis without someone lending it to you, because the very definition of borrowing is there's someone else involved. And therefore, just the fact that there's someone else selling drugs, or there's someone else who's doing wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. And you are still the person who's enabled him. So the fact that there was someone else who could have caused this yitzhak to davera, that's not enough, says the Mishnah Melech. Pnei Moshe says, no. As long as I'm not the only person who could do it, if he could get it somewhere else, says Mishnah Melech, no, it's not about that. It's about whether he can do this avera himself. And for example, Malva Veloiva, they need an external party. And for that, you're over on Lifnei Iver. So coming back to our questions. So, it's trying about Dain Duna, whether you can sell a TV to Yid in Israel. I'm not giving a psak here, but it would depend very much on these factors. That means, according to the Pnei Moshe, if they could buy this TV, if there's lots of TV shops, and that you could, according to Mishnah Melech though, no, because two wrongs don't make a right. But on the other hand, we need to decide whether a TV in itself, and that I'm not passing today, is something which is a Dvar Issa. That means if let's say you're selling a TV and it's going to be used as a monitor in hospitals. I mean, the fact that someone decided to watch something crave on it, that's not my issue, right? And especially with technology where it's gone today, where a computer or most of these things, they could be used for bad things, but who said necessarily they are? Now, selling cigarettes is a very interesting one, because each cigarette in itself, if someone would just have that cigarette, right? If someone just has one cigarette in their life, it's probably the same amount of pollution that they would have walking in London for a few days or however many hours, right? That means one cigarette itself doesn't kill. But on the other hand, you've enabled that person to continue that addiction. And even if that person could have got cigarettes elsewhere, you were the person who caused them to continue. And putting a physical stone in front of a blind person, it seems clear that everyone agrees that, whether it's the Rambam or the Shulchan, the Chinuch says, you're not even on if never. I'm not saying you should put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. What I'm saying is that that's not what the Pasuk is referring to.
Can I just ask you, all these examples you brought of people committing your vagaries with the eyes open, surely Lifnei means you have to trick somebody, or he doesn't know. Everybody knows you must have spoken. Everybody knows you must leave the tray from your own plane.
So you're mechavan to the Rambam. Yeah? Because what we said was, there's two ways of understanding the Lifnei Iver, right? The Lav Lifnei Iver. The first way is Eitz Hashena Hegenes Lo. You give someone a piece of bad advice. The second one is referring to when you cause someone to do an Avera.
Facilitating
an Avera. So the Rambam says that when you give an Eitz Hashena Hegenes Lo, when you give someone a piece of bad advice, that's really a blind person. That means this person doesn't know anything about investments. He comes to you. I remember my grandmother, when she got older, someone got to her and offered her he was a goy, so I don't know if he was over in Lifnevir, but he didn't do something very good. And he offered her lots of investments, which he happened to get, I think, 70% of whatever the investment was, and the other 30%. And my parents discovered this long after the investments had already gone. And that is something which clearly is a blind person, so to speak, and you're tripping them up. Says the Rambam, Pashli Dekra refers to that. Pashli Dekra refers to stumbling someone else. Now, what about a Eva Menachai or a Shloshi Adam Lanazir?
It's another
Issa.
Enabling somebody
to
commit
an
error, it's a different Issa altogether.
Yeah, so now your question is why we see all the Gemara says that the Gemara is all referred to such a case of, for example, even by Avodah Zorah, right? So all these cases. So the third, what we're saying is that now that we've completely taken away, like we see, the Rambam says it doesn't bechlal have anything to do with Lifnei Aver. That means Lifnei Aver, the Torah was trying to say is, don't cause someone else to do something. You don't be a stumbling block for someone else. You have become a stumbling block. It's not that who may or may not be an Aver, but you are stumbling someone else up, right, along the way. Now, for example, the Gemara says that when someone has Yed Sahara, someone's over Avodah Zorah, someone gets Bekas, they can make all sorts of stupid decisions. And we know in our past years, it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that we can sometimes get blinded by our Yetzirah. So you have now been the stumbling block for that person who is blinded, but that's why it's not the Pashti Dekra. But according to the Rambam, he's learning, and the Gemara explains as well, that when someone wants to do an Avera, they're not seeing what's right, right? If someone sees clearly, then they would never want to do an Avera. The fact that someone wants to do an Avera with his eyes open, he's still blind. Right, because he's still someone who doesn't see clearly. It's like you got an addict who comes to you and says, give me this, you don't give it to him. He's asking for it, he wants it. He's blinded by his addiction. We get blinded by our wants and our needs, but it doesn't mean that you should enable him to do it. So that's why the Pashti Dekra, says the Rambam, refers to someone who doesn't even know the Klal. But it would even apply to someone who's somewhat misguided in their approach. You still need to take achrayas to them. And I might say that just ties in very nicely with just something I wanted to mention. At the beginning of this week's parasha, just to answer, the Gemara very briefly in Sukkah talks about a case of Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda held a Sukkah which had decorations 4 amas too low, was not allowed. Rav Nachman said it was allowed. They went to a Sukkah, he sat down, he said, can I sit? He said, yeah, you can sit there. The Maisa, his psak was that it was Apostle Sukkah. And you see from that Gemara that actually if you hold that it's mutter, then you could be machshel someone else in that issa, and it's not even lifnei aver. You can, if you hold that opening those bottles, as long as klapi you it's taka muta, then there's no issa of lifnei aver, which applies even if that person holds its also, which is very interesting. But I just want to finish off, we've got 30 seconds, something that you mentioned, which I think is very interesting. At the beginning of this week's parasha, the Kliyaka says something phenomenal. It says, Atan itself mayim kulchem lifnei Hashem lekechem. So ask the Kliyaka, he says, why is it that we're mentioning Rashichem, Shivteichem, just mention all Kolish Yisrael, it goes through the whole list. Zok the Kliyokar, and this kind of ties in very much with what you were mentioning, is that he says at Har Sinai, we didn't make a bris which included the Arabs. There was no guarantor on each one. Every person took on his achrayas between his relationship and Hashem, and that was what was important. He says, what happened after Har Gerizim Har Eval is L'Avracha B'Bris, is now that there's a new covenant, is that there was an Arvus. What does it mean? If you see, if you're an Orid, if you're a guarantor on a loan, and you see someone spending their money frivolously or using it in the wrong way, they say, what are you doing? You're going to end up with my house being taken away. You've got to pay back these payments. What are you doing? He says, that's what's happened now. Chol Orid Haroi, Kach B'Zman Shisrola, Revim Zeh Ba'ad Zeh. Now that Kladi Srola, Revim Zeh Ba'ad Zeh, as I call me sheish biyodei loichiach biroisa yochid the rabbim noitim mederech haseichel umachzir lemutov and im halim yalim enov, if he makes himself blind, harehu bimkoyme, if you know of someone in your office, if you know of someone down the street who's not keeping Shabbos, and you say, well look, I've got my Rosh Hashanah to deal with, what do I need to deal with him? Im halim alim yalim enov imenu, harehu bimkoyme, you are a mechal Shabbos, the imoy bimechitzosoi, you are in his mechitza. V'chei tarabim tolei boy. And the Chet HaRabim is totally on you. And he says, he goes on to say, Al-Chein Omer Chazal, Be'er Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, G'dolim Yotzi L'Kros Yitzchila. He said, what is Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Hashanah is about taking responsibility to say to Ribbono Shel Olam, look, if it's Al-Avinu, Av and Ben, father, son, I'm your son. If I'm the only son, I'm also a son. Malkeinu, Ein Melech B'Loyam. When it comes to a king, only if there's a nation, the less people that recognize Hashem, the less and more diminished Hashem's kingdom is. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Roshechem, Shivteichem, Zekneichem, Shadrichem, because actually, what this Rosh Hashanah is about, this parasha that comes up just a couple of weeks before Rosh Hashanah, this parasha is here, is to tell us, is actually to teach us that we have a collective responsibility. Right? And even if you see someone who's saying to me, no, I'm very happy living my life, I've got an open mind, open eyes. Right, and I'm telling you, you're fine. So I'll go to shul. I'll cut my alchet. It doesn't bother me what everyone else. So this possible. No, imoy b'mkoymo v'mechitzosli. We have that collective responsibility for Klal Yisrael. So we actually need to take care of the blind and also make sure we're not blinded ourselves.